Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Oh, I tell you, Jennifer, she is really a party pooper.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Really? Jennifer poops at parties? So she poops at parties, so and people know this?
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I poop at parties. I poop at parties, but people don't know because I close the door.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Where does she go for it? Does she visit a water closet and make door of the open so people may see and smell things? To sound horrible.
The Fan.
New York streets will kill us a walk like Pistol Pete and Pappy Mason gave the young.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Thanks for being with us on a Friday. We will Sprague the Line coming up in 25 minutes. So get your fake sponsors in. 55305 is the better you today. Text line.
On the point that Deal made about how people call in on different shows, people are real call heavy reliant.
Yeah.
Deal said, yeah. You guys never rely on content.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Sprague and the Line.
Yeah. I wrote that one down as a good Sprague and the Line sponsor, so keep them coming in. Lamar Hurd's going to join the show coming up in about 10 minutes. Look, I mean, last night was brutal. It was brutal. You're going in. You get your ass kicked in game one. You mentally engage again. You're like, all right, here we go. They played about as good of a first half as you could possibly ask in a Western Conference Finals game on the road against Golden State. You lead by 15, as much as 17. The lead evaporates, and then you find a way to lead by 8 again in the fourth quarter, and then that lead evaporates. I believe they were outscored 14-3 down the stretch after leading 108-100 with just a couple of minutes left in the ballgame. Dame and CJ combined to go 0-9 in the last 7 minutes. Six of those were from CJ. And here we are in an 0-2 hole, and it was depressing. It was tough. It was one of the worst losses for Portland fans probably since Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. All the way back the last time you were in the Western Conference Finals. How do we feel if they win tomorrow? If they come out at home, they look good, they show that the first half product, the fourth quarter product, mm-hmm. is something that they can duplicate again. They get a win, convincing, not blowing them out, but you're like, all right, that was a good game. They played great throughout. They get a nice little win, and it's 2-1. What is the mood around this series if you get a win in game three?
For me, I'm not going to go crazy here. I will say they can tie the series. That's it. Winning 4 or 5 against the defending champions is not something I can see doing. You need a Draymond Clay Steph injury. Again, I actually don't want to see that happen. I know Portland fan wants to get the finals, but I don't wish that on anyone. Barring that, I do not think that can be possible for your team. But if they win game three, I think you can tie it. And then when you tie it, you'll get people that start to believe that this can really happen.
That's what Houston did. Lost the first two, won the next two.
I know, but Houston's not Golden State, and Golden State is a different animal, and that different animal showed their head at the end of that fourth quarter. They came back in the third, and then at the end of the fourth, when they were down, there was momentum. Like, there was a vibe listening to Breen make a call on a Seth 3 where you're like, oh my God, they're going to do this. And they don't allow that momentum to really stop, or they don't allow that momentum to take them over. They fought right back. They ended the game on a 14-3 run. So if you ask me, what am I going to walk away with? If they can win game three and play well, I'll be proud, I'll be happy, and I'll go, hey, they'll have a chance to tie this series at 2. But taking it a step further, if they win one game and going, oh, yeah, they win this series, I'm not willing to go there.
Yeah, somebody texted in right now, feels like the Blazers are circling the drain slowly, and it's tough. You can get away, I think, against opponents like Denver, where, you know, both examples of game one and game two happened against Denver. You know, game one, you kind of no-showed. You slept walk through it. You played a terrible game. You got your ass kicked. You end up losing by 22. That was game five at Denver, right? I mean, they had that game. And then they had a similar game to game two where they played great, led throughout most of it, had a bad quarter, and then weren't able to make up for it in the end. That was game four. Like, you think back to that game. They had a great first half. They led at the halftime, and then they just, for whatever reason, no-showed in the third. Dame couldn't make any shots. Denver went on this ginormous run, outscored you by almost, I think, 15 points in the third quarter. And then you had a good fourth, but you just couldn't make it up. And that was the way that they lost two games against Denver. The part that really stings, though, is that you can't get away with those against Golden State. And that is where I think the disappointing one is you can do that against Denver in a series and be like, all right, they can still come back. They can still find a way to win games moving forward in this series. But when you do it against the champs, especially when you're on their floor with a chance to win, like if you wanted to have any dream scenario of winning this series, eventually you're going to have to win one at Golden State. And you had a prime opportunity to do it last night. And you just let it slip through your fingers, which just makes it hurt that much more.
And I think where I come from, too, is you played a great game and Golden State played an okay game and they won. And that's why it's tough for me outside of like where they're at up 2-0. It's just I watched Portland play good defense in the first half and move the ball, and they scored without Dame leading them in scoring. And then Dame got it going, and then CJ was going early, and Seth got it going, and Hood was good. And you still lost. And I think that's a reminder of who Golden State is and who they've been now for 5 years. So there are a lot of positives I take away. Like, just because they lost a heartbreaking game, does not mean our show needed or needs to be, or anybody's show needs to be, oh, doom and gloom, how pathetic. Again, they are at a point I didn't think that they would get at the start.
Yeah, it's important to keep things in perspective.
And they punched the champs in the mouth. The problem is they didn't get a clean look, and the champ didn't go down, and the champ punched you right back and knocked you out at the end. Portland needs to clean some things up for game three. But for the most part, I liked mostly everything I saw. I would like Aminu to play less minutes. That's got to happen. Zach Collins, can you stop fouling anybody for just a second? Because if you stay on the court, we know how much of an impact you can make offensively and defensively. And I don't want to see them go away from the hot hand. That really ticked me off. There wasn't a lot, but that ticked me off. I felt like Seth had a hot hand.
He did.
And it didn't feel like they made an effort to go back to him.
It was similar in game four against Denver. Remember, he had 16 points in the first half, and then he didn't score in the second half.
Right. And then they had a moment where they took a couple minutes off. He hit the shot before the half. In the final 7 minutes, I looked this up in the last break, the final 7 minutes and 42 seconds, I believe it was, your only two people to score were Myers and Seth.
Yeah, they both hit threes.
Dame and CJ did not score.
No, they were 0-for-9 in the last 7.5 minutes combined.
That can't happen. And I know this team is on a special run, but I want to bring this point back because this is not something I'm just going to let go. I brought this up during the Denver series. This is when every other major market kind of holds the star accountable. And I know there's only so much Dame and CJ can do, but these are the guys making the big contract. There is some blame to be put on them.
No doubt.
For not stepping up at the end there and maybe helping the team when they needed it.
Yep, needed some buckets from them down the stretch. What'd you make of the loss and the way the series goes from here? 55305 is the Bet You Today text line. Let's ask Lamar Hurt his thoughts on this, Blazers TV analyst. He is going to join us next on 1080 The Fan. Hey, we're Straight Line coming up in 15 minutes. Get your fake sponsors in. Somebody texted in. Find this. Is it frustrating and disappointing? Yes. Am I hoping for Portland to still win? Absolutely. But Rip City, let's take a breath. Remember that we expected nothing out of this year's playoffs. Terry, Dame, and CJ are not the problem. Missing Nurk is a huge deal, and this team is already overachieved.
Well, I think that's the thing. I felt like most of us had that realization, and then when they lose a game, we're getting some. Yeah. And look, it's a very sliver
that's
amount.
That's the way it works, man. That's the way it works.
Stotts is a bomb. It's well, he's in the West Finals.
Deep breaths. Let's see what Lamar Hurd has to say about it. Blazers TV analyst at L_Hurd on Twitter joins us on the MVP HomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. Lamar, thanks, man, for joining us. We appreciate it. I want to start, though. How tough is it for you to do these games all year and work the TV broadcast and now, like, have to sit on the sidelines and just watch?
It is tough, and it's new. You know, our first 2 years, Kevin Colapso and I, when we were done, the team was done.
Right.
So, you know, then advanced past that first round. So it's tough, but it's fun, man. It's a lot of excitement. And over the last two games specifically, I've been here in Portland, and I was at the watch party. So, you know, I was watching it with a big group of people, and we were having a good time. And we thought yesterday was going to be the day, and Golden State did what they did, which is be the best third quarter team in basketball, and they responded like champions. And I'll be just as excited to watch them play over the next two at Moda.
What changed in your mind, Lamar, in that fourth quarter where they ended the game on a 14-3 run? What did Portland maybe not do so well late in that game to be able to capitalize and run away with it?
I just think the looks weren't very clean, and I'm not so sure all of that's on Portland. I made the point yesterday, actually, at the watch party to the fans that were there, that Golden State is known for the Splash Brothers and all the great offense, but they're an elite defensive team. And they really started to clamp down. Now, with that, I thought that there were a couple calls, and I'm not even talking about the very last play of the game. I thought before that there were a couple calls that maybe could have been whistled. I thought Draymond Green was extra physical a few times, but he does that. You know, he has made a living off of picking and choosing certain times when to amp up his defense. And so I felt like they played championship-level defense at the end, and the Blazers, being in a new situation, will have to figure out how to navigate those situations. But there just weren't a lot of great looks off of movement. I felt like Golden State did a good job on the pick-and-roll defense and tried to force somebody other than the leading two scorers to beat them. And yesterday they were successful in doing that.
Yeah. We're talking with Lamar Herr, Blazer TV analyst. Give him a follow on Twitter, at L_ Herd, and you mentioned Draymond being physical too. That was with five fouls, so he would have been out of the game if they did whistle him for one of those ones down the stretch. You know, one of the things we've heard a lot from fans just throughout the last, probably the last two rounds, has been the rotational issues. You know, do you change the starting lineup? Aminu's been struggling. Mo was in a rough spot, but then he came out with a big game one. What have you made just of the rotation and Stott sticking with it? And was there any issue there last night, maybe in the third quarter when things did get out of hand, of not throwing in a different lineup to try and stop things?
The one thing that I've learned about Coach Stott just in my short time with the team so far is, you know, he'll stick with the rotations he believes in. And, you know, every year there's somebody that's in the lineup, and then there's a guy off the bench that emerges in a couple games, and then the fan base is wanting that guy to become the starter. So as soon as whoever is starting is struggling, they want him in. And Coach Stott, he's been loyal to what he has seen. So if he feels like there are certain people who produce in certain ways against certain lineups, although that person might not be having the best game at a particular moment, he'll give them the benefit of the doubt. He'll give them extra chances to work through all that stuff. So I'm not surprised. So when you ask me what did I think about it, I've just seen so many different lineups at so many different times. You know, go to a game and, there's a guy injured, say the starting two or three is injured, and, you know, people will always ask us, so who do you think coach is going to start in replace of him? I don't even answer the question anymore because it might be somebody who hasn't even played in 10, 15 games. So I say all that to say, I know coach trusts whoever he puts out there. Now, with all that, I do love just what I've been seeing from guys who can make plays when they catch the basketball, like a Rodney, a Seth, guys off the bench like that. I do feel like more times than not, the way they're playing, you can't go wrong with those guys right now. With Zach, when he's not in foul trouble, those guys are playing some good basketball. But I think the lineups will continue to change. I think even Myers last night, you know, his minutes late in the fourth, those are high quality minutes. So, I think it's less of a lineup deal, and it's more of a mental battle of whoever's in there. The responsibility doesn't change. Like, if you're playing another team, and you're a big coming in off the bench, maybe your responsibility now is to play post defense a certain way or to hedge differently on certain screens. The game plan is the same. There's two guys for Golden State. You want to get the ball out of their hands at all costs, even if it's not your primary man. Make somebody else beat you. Try not to give up dunks and layups on the weak side. And a challenge is just doing that throughout the duration of the entire game. They're a unique team. Nobody else plays like they do with the two players that they have. So it's just one of those unique deals.
You know, you think about all the teams throughout history, Lamar, and I know you're pretty fond of it. You're studying it all the time. You're around the game so much. I'm not saying this series is over. I mean, my personal opinion is that it is. It's hard to beat that team four out of the next five games. It's not over, though. Game three is tomorrow. How important do you think it is for the growth of a guy like Dame, a guy like CJ, a coach like Stotts, to get to this stage and go against a team like this?
Well, I think it's very important because this is a team you have to break through against. And that's something that Damian has said. I remember 2 years ago when the team was swept by Golden State and being in the practice facility with Damian about a week after that took place. And he was just stewing. I mean, you would have thought the game just ended 30 minutes ago. It was already a week done. And he just really felt like this is kind of the next chapter for him. This is he related it to the Bulls having to break through Detroit, you know, things like that back in the day. And he said that he feels like this is the deal for him. And so I would tell you this, if this was the first year and the team got down 0-2 and, you know, like they did and ended up getting swept, you kind of felt like, oh, this is not going to be good. This is not going to end well. And I don't feel that way right now. And it's not only because of the growth that those guys you just mentioned and then the rest of the team have shown this year. I just think there's something special about this season. There's been so many things about revisiting everything that they have overcome so far. There's been a lot of things, and it just doesn't seem right to end now to me. And that's how I felt, guys, in Game 7 against Denver. I just didn't feel like, based on what this team has done throughout this year, that was the right time for the season to end. And I just feel like there's more to this story that's going to take place in the series.
Yeah. We're talking with the Mar Herb Blazers TV analyst. And, you know, they're coming home for Game 3, and I'm sure they're going to be happy to have the home crowd behind them. Get out of Oracle after that tough one. What are a couple of things that you're circling or identifying that if Portland is to send this thing back to Oakland tied 2-2, which they'll need to if they want to win the series, what are the couple of things that Portland really needs to either do or prove on, change? What are you looking at for 3 and 4?
Simple to identify, tough to execute. The two things for me, protecting the basketball, not turning it over. But like I said, Golden State's an elite team. They can dial up pressure. I saw that, I think it was a Chris Haynes article, that Draymond Green had a talk with Steve Kerr yesterday at halftime, and he said he wanted to dial up the pressure against Damian and CJ. So they have that type of player-coach relationship. I'm expecting more of the same tomorrow. So take care of the basketball, because the Blazers' offense is good enough to beat Golden State when they take care of the basketball. And then the second thing, and this is maybe the easiest thing to identify, but again, the toughest thing to execute, and that is you can't lose sight of Steph and Clay at any point. Well, and for Golden State, the way Steph is playing, you can't lose sight of him either. But you can't lose sight. And so there's always got to be two on those guys. And then the back part of that is on the weak side, you don't want to give up that dunk or layup. So even when you show to those guys, whatever you give up on the weak side, you want it to be a contested shot or maybe a wide open look for one of their non-shooters. If the Blazers can do that consistently, which I do believe they can, because when you play against Golden State, I just mentioned, nobody else is like them. So it takes a game or two to just get acclimated to what they do. And so I think with each game in the series, the Blazers will defend better and better against them. So you do those two things. I feel really good about the games at home. I know that crowd is going to be insane. I love the prospect of going back to the Bay Area with a 2-2 series.
Now, it's all kind of run together because this run has been so fun, but it feels like it's every other day, and it's Oklahoma City, and then it's a 7-game with Denver and now Golden State. Mm-hmm. You were at a wedding game 7, right?
Yes, I was.
Okay, whose wedding was that?
So my younger brother.
Okay. I've never met your younger brother. Hell, I think I've only met you one time in person. Does he not know what your job
is
and why would he schedule a wedding right now?
Come on.
So they know what the job is. And so they wanted to have the season. I'm sorry, the wedding earlier in the season. So I think it was back in November. And they were asking me, could I make it? And I said, guys, there's absolutely no way. That's not even an option. And so I was the only person that they moved it back for. And so when they told me the new date, telling me that it was going to be Mother's Day, I told them, hey, now you do know the team could be playing, right? The team, that's playoff time. And they said, yeah, no, we understand. But based on some other dates and obligations and restraints that we have, we have to just make it then. That's the longest we can stretch it. And they said, we totally understand if you can't make it, but we want if it's at all possible for you to be there, we need you to be there. And I said, guys, I can't guarantee it. So you know the deal. So look, so after the OKC series was over, they know that my responsibilities in broadcasting the game is done. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to put which one it was out on Front Street, but I'm going to tell you this. One of them was not expecting the Blazers to advance. Ooh. All right, so one of them was not expecting it, so I got a text from that one as soon as that OKC series ended, and the texter said, I guess we should listen to you and made it later on.
Look,
and so I just responded back. I responded back and I said, yes, you should have.
Yeah.
You were warned. And I said, but graciously, the management team that I work for at the Blazers are some of the best people I know, and they allowed me to go ahead and go down and be with the family for the wedding. So it was all good. It all worked out. But this is the only way it worked, guys. I had my phone and the ESPN app on the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
It was on my lap. I'm watching the game the entire time. Anytime I celebrated, like when CJ was going off, people thought I was doing it for the wedding. They didn't need to know what it was all about. It all worked out.
Well, I got brothers, and I also have two sister-in-laws. I know that was your sister-in-law that texted you that, because you would have thrown your brother under in a second.
All right. I don't have to say it.
Yeah, but that's it. We're not naming any names. That is awesome. Lamar Hurd is his name, Blazer TV analyst. Give him a follow on Twitter at @L_Hurd. Lamar, thanks so much for the time, man. We're loving this run. We hope it continues, and thanks for taking a few minutes for us today.
My pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Lamar Hurd. He's keeping the faith. So they're going home. You got the Moda Center crowd behind you in Game 3 and Game 4. He had a similar feeling in Game 7, down by 17. It won't end like this. And he says he feels the same way. It won't end like this.
He's 100% right. It's a special team. I hope it doesn't end how I'm thinking it ends in my mind right now. But you come back to the Moda Center. You see what happens in Game 3. If you can win it, everything goes in Game 4.
Then you go to Game 4. You got back-to-back must wins. If you win Saturday, you win Monday. Maybe we're having a different conversation about the series.
Did you catch what Dame said in the postgame? They said,
I did.
Has it struck you that this might be your final game in Oracle? And he basically was like, we don't
We're coming back.
Plan on that.
He said, we're coming back. So he's very confident as well. We'll read some of your thoughts on the series to close out the show. Talk about the Eastern Conference Finals Game 1. We got some poll questions to answer. All of that is still to come, but now it is time to win some money. Let's spread the line. Get your fake sponsors in 55305. We'll read them off. Do some gambling next.
Spreading the line.
Hey, on a serious note, before we get to the sponsors, how about a major shout out to Keenan Lowe?
Yes.
From a former Oregon player, local product, obviously. He is now the head coach at Park Rose. If you missed it earlier today, they had reports of an armed gunman near the school, in the school.
It went on lockdown.
Keenan Lowe tackled the guy.
Yeah, he saw him around the arts building, which a lot of you probably not familiar with that is, but he came out, saw him, and says that he wrestled the guy or the person to the ground and was able to basically stop anything horrific from happening.
It's an incredible, incredible story, and want to make sure to give Keenan Lowe a shout-out there. That is wild. Okay, Sprague in the Line, brought to you by Manscaped.com. Just like Dirt's balls after golf, these picks stink. Oh. You need our wipes.
Disgusting. That just did not sit well with
golf,
my stomach.
Golf balls. Playing golf. Sprague in the Line brought to you by Game of Thrones. Nothing in Game of Thrones happens how you want. Neither do Sprague's picks.
Nerd!
Sprague in the Line brought to you by Manscaped.com. I lost my shorts betting Sprague's picks. At least my balls are looking good.
We got another Manscaped coming up.
Oh, we do? We got another one today?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
We got another one.
Sprague in the Line brought to you by my liver during these finals. It's just sad. Yeah, that one took a little bit of booze last night. Sprague in the Line brought to you by my risky farts at work. Hopefully Sprague isn't betting on my underwear coming out unscathed.
That's good.
Sprague in the Line brought to you by Kevon Looney, almost as ugly as a Sprague pick. That might be the thing that blows me away most from today's show. He is 23 years old.
Yeah.
How do I, like, I figured
he was
like
UCLA, right? Wasn't he a UCLA kid? I think he came out and he was a one and done and everyone was like, what are you doing?
I figured he was like a 15-year journeyman that played 8 years in China.
Well, he's a really good player, but I think he's benefiting from this situation, too.
He's got a lot of talent around him. Sprague in the Line brought to you by coffee. Sprague's hate Sprague hates the taste of coffee but loves the smell. Dirt loves the taste of Taco Bell, but Sprague hates the smell.
It's true. It's true.
This is valid. Sprague and Lyon brought to you by Blessed. It's great to see that Dirt got his new bachelor party stripper shorts.
Stripper shorts.
Sprague and Lyon brought to you by, where did this one go? Manscaped.com. Let the non-shower show that will, okay, I can't read that one. Sorry, apologies. Abort that one. Sprague and Lyon brought to you by Draymond Green, kick to the nuts, which feels about the same as losing game two last night.
Ooh, yeah.
That is kind of what it felt like, right? And we'll get one more in here. Sprague and Lyon brought to you by Paul Pierce Predictions, where we guarantee to make Sprague look good.
There you go.
All right, where are we going this weekend?
We're going all over the board here, Bob. We're actually going to start with a non-sports Sprague and Lyon that I want you guys to participate in.
Non-sports Sprague and Lyon.
It's a huge thing going on.
Okay.
Haven't talked about it on the show.
Okay.
I've kept it to myself, and you guys have not recognized it, and I'm quite upset by that. John Wick 3, baby, is out in theaters today. Over under.
Nobody
cares.
That's
not true.
The over under. How many people care? John Wick. Over on nobody caring.
Oh, my God. You're going to really piss me off.
Should we do the over under on how many lines he actually has in this movie? Because I'll take the under of 4.
Doesn't matter. He's still killing people.
I'm going to kill you.
You know what his good stats are?
I will find him.
He's got a good murder to kill ratio or murder to talk ratio.
It does.
For every 28 people he murders, he has a sentence.
I would think about watching these movies until I saw the last trailer for John Wick 3. And you know what little quote they put on there during the trailer?
Which one?
Just for John Wick 3. Yeah. It like shows. It said, quote, one of the best trilogies of all time.
They're not wrong. And you really pissed me off because you haven't even seen one. And
I am an FBI agent.
Why do you cock your head back when you say that? You do that. You know that, right?
Don't touch my dog.
Okay, you're really upsetting me.
These movies are terrible.
They're not terrible.
Acknowledge that they're bad movies that you like. Acknowledge that it's a bad movie and I'll let you get away with it.
It's a good movie.
It's not a good movie. Oh my gosh. Not a good movie.
Okay. The opening
of
Furious is not a good
John
movie.
Wick.
Have you heard of John Wick?
Other than, yeah, I know it's Keanu Reeves, but I could care less.
Okay, you said that wrong. So I'm going to give you the buzzer for it.
Yeah, buzzer.
Couldn't care less.
Couldn't care less.
That means you could actually care less if you say I could care less.
Yeah.
Couldn't care less. See what you've done to me? I've turned into the grammar police here.
Now you're doing
okay.
That.
John Wick 2 opening weekend, which I saw with P1 Jack and Crawford.
Nobody cares.
$92 million.
Cool.
That they almost got $100 million their first weekend.
Cool.
Don't tell me people don't care.
That doesn't mean it's a good movie. That does not mean it's a good movie.
Okay, how do you explain that then?
It does not mean
how
it's
do
a
you
good
explain
movie.
That then?
People are
good
stupid.
Good and popular are two different things.
Completely different. No. Completely different.
Strongly disagree.
No
Strongly
way.
Disagree.
Can we get to some actual wagers?
Yeah, can we move on? Can we move on?
No, over under that number. On. Do they
who
beat
you
that
like
number?
At the Preakness.
And nobody cares about horse racing. The best horses aren't even racing. They're still suing the other committee for the Derby. Is it going to beat or be under $92 million?
I don't care.
God, you guys are jerks.
I don't care.
No one cares.
This is my segment.
Thank you. Nobody cares.
Okay.
We'll make it relevant.
I'm going to kill you.
Milwaukee, 6.5-point favorite, Toronto game 2.
Give me Toronto on the money line.
Give me Milwaukee, lay the points. The only reason they weren't ahead for longer was because they were rusty and couldn't hit a shot in the first half. I think they're going to rip Toronto up.
Thank you. I will also take Milwaukee to cover at 6.5.
I love how upset people get at the bet you did at text
line. Dude, you're upsetting me right now. It's a good movie.
How dare you say it's not a good movie
Thank
if you haven't seen it?
Thank you. It's a good movie. It's not just like a bad good movie. It's like a good movie. I'm telling you. It's going to be a great trilogy. You guys are on the wrong side of history.
If it's not a good movie, then why do audiences and critics give it good reviews?
Thank you. Oh, getting some support.
People are angry.
Well, you shouldn't have said what you said. Okay, the other sports.
By the way, give me Toronto. I think Toronto wins tonight. Money line.
Oh, okay. I like that. We'll go to the Portland Golden State. Portland is a 2.5-point favorite home.
I will lay those points.
I will, too. I think they win game 3.
Okay. I will take Portland minus 2.5 as well. Okay.
You didn't want to, did you?
I actually been going back and forth on that pick all day.
Okay.
And I feel like I just upset Blazer fan the way that you upset John Wick fan. Only the real Wick boys know what we're dealing with right now.
The Wick boys are not happy right now.
And then I'm actually going to go to boxing. I'm not going to do horse racing because, again, the rightful winner for the Derby didn't win, and now he's suing him, and he actually might end up winning reversal judgment.
Oh, really?
The owners are filing a suit in federal court.
Yeah, and Michael McCann wrote a piece about this and said, there's a chance that it could happen. Okay, so let's go to the big boxing match. There's a heavyweight bout this weekend. If you haven't been following boxing lately, it's actually got a little bit of a revival. The heavyweight division's pretty good right now. Deontay Wilder.
He wants to murder somebody this weekend.
He wants to murder Dominic Brazil.
He wants to get his John Wick on.
He does. He doesn't talk. He just hits you.
Yeah.
He actually got in trouble for that. The committee was not very happy because of his quote. It's the only sport where you can kill a man and get paid for it. And I might exercise that right. They did not like that statement. I think it actually helps sell the match a little more. Who are you going with? Deontay Wilder, the favorite here.
He should get in trouble for saying he wants to murder somebody with his hands.
Why? That's been said several times in boxing history.
It shouldn't be said, in my opinion.
It builds up the fight. It's like,
murders him?
That would be kind of cool. Yeah.
That would be cool to see somebody die.
I mean, not really.
Then therefore you shouldn't say it.
Have you ever seen a fight where that happens? Have you ever seen a fight? I remember the Ray Boom Boom Mancini fight.
Yeah,
I watched
it.
That was awful.
No, I haven't seen it. And I don't really actually telling you I want to legitimately watch a guy
die. But that's just some of the things you should say.
I think you're just selling a fight, though.
There's a million ways to sell a fight without saying I'm going to murder a guy.
No, there's a line out of respect for what the guys risk when they go in there.
Dude, when he beats him, he's going to give him a big hug. It's not like he doesn't respect him. He's talking. Boxers talk more than anybody else ever. They say all kinds of outlandish things.
Is Conor McGregor, who's as good as selling anything of anybody, has he ever said, I'm going to murder you?
No, but he tried to murder somebody by throwing a ladder through a bus window.
Sure, that's different.
He actually got in trouble for that.
In selling a fight, you don't need to say you want to murder
Max Kellerman
somebody.
Had a good point. Tyson had a fight like this against Jesse Ferguson. They asked him after the round why he chose that combination. He uppercutted him, and he said, I read that if you hit him just in the right place in the nose, the bone will stab the brain. That was post-fight. That's a little worse to me than going into the fight.
Okay, so you want to see Wilder murder a guy this weekend?
Actually, no, I don't want to see the dude get murdered, but I want to see a good heavyweight bout.
I'll take Wilder. I think he's going to win.
I'm taking Wilder as well. I don't like you guys in this segment. I'm just going to put it out there. A May 17th spring lunch. Not a big fan of dirt and swag.
Yeah, somebody said Mike Tyson threatened to eat someone's children. Yeah, you shouldn't do that.
I laugh about that line. Maybe I'm way different than you two. I think that stuff is just showmanship, cocky arrogance.
The problem is, though, it's showmanship until it actually happens.
But when, I mean...
Because it has happened before.
I know it's happened. But look, sport itself...
Tyson ate Holyfield's ear.
But not his children. His kids weren't playing in Georgia right now.
Yeah, they weren't.
It's a good thing his kids weren't in the ring.
Oh, I'm just saying, like, of course it's happened. You have a sport where guys are hitting each other in the freaking head. If it's so wrong that this can happen, and it is wrong to want to murder somebody.
Thank you. That's all that I'm saying.
But you guys are like acting like this is the most egregious thing ever. And my point is just, it's boxing. Like, you're watching two guys pummel each other in the head.
Yeah.
So what do you expect them to be thinking going in? I'm going to have a respectable bout here.
Oh, stop.
There's trash talk.
There's a difference.
He smiled and smirked when he said what he said. You think he really is going in and going, I'm going to murder this guy right now?
I don't know.
He's not John Wick. This guy didn't murder his dog.
There's no in-between between wanting to murder somebody and then going into a fight saying, I'm just going to take it nice and easy on
it. It's not like there's 8,000 hours of Muhammad Ali press conferences to learn how to do it artfully.
I think boxers have a mentality of, I have to make the most money I can. I have to sell this fight. What's something I can do or say? Oh, I'll say this. And guess what's been on the headlines? This is a big headline thing. I don't know if it's going to get 1,000 more people, 10,000 more people, or 10 more people. But he made more money for that fight by saying that. That's my larger point.
Sure. I'm not happy with this segment.
Where do you think it went wrong?
I think you bringing up John Wick.
Did John Wick start this off?
I think you bringing
up
John Wick ruined the segment.
I'm just proud a couple people texting some support for the Wick boys out there.
Yeah, there's a couple of them out there. Okay, there you go. Hey, let's answer the poll questions.
Are you guys mad at me? I feel like now we're like angry.
Yeah, there's animosity in the building.
Is there animosity?
There's animosity. Yeah, I'm very upset.
I can make more cocktails.
Yeah. I'm still good on my first one.
I'm very angry right now.
I don't want to chug it.
I'm very angry. People are upset. Everybody's mad.
Okay, all right, well.
We're not going into the weekend on a happy note now.
We will when Rebecca comes
it's
back.
It's still real to me, damn it.
See? It was all good. We were on a smooth plane there.
I'll tell you this. I can make it up to you right now.
Okay.
If he murders this guy in the ring, mm-hmm. I'll be watching this fight, by the way. If he murders him, I'll apologize on Monday.
Okay.
And
that's all I ask.
I will never vouch for an individual saying this kind of stuff.
That's all I ask.
But if he hugs him, give him a little kiss on the cheek.
Okay. Then I'll say the comment wasn't too far.
Okay.
Okay. Fair?
Deal.
Okay.
Deal.
All right, let's answer the poll questions, get you set for the weekend. Game 3 tomorrow, game 2 in the East tonight. All of that is next on The Fan. Hey, Dirt and Sprague, sticking around for Manscaped.com. You know, boxers, I bet, could use some of this. They get sweaty, probably stink during the course of those fights. The smell on those things and those gloves just has to be atrocious by the end of it. This is where the lotions, the deodorants, the body washes, all of that stuff from Manscaped.com could come in handy.
Yeah, I can't imagine what that's like to go 12 rounds in a heavyweight bout and not have the ball wipes. You got to make sure to take care of yourself this summer season. So let's give you the lotions. Let's give you the body wash. Smell good. Feel good. And use the lawnmower. I'm telling you, I'm a big fan of the lawnmower. I don't just say that for the commercial. I actually use it, and the wife has appreciated that.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, it was seen on Shark Tank, Manscaped.com. Find out why they're number one in men's below-the-waist grooming. Check out the Perfect Package 2.0. Get the Lawnmower 2.0. Comes with the electric trimmer worthy of getting up and close and personal. 20% off, free shipping, free travel bag with the promo code FAN at Manscaped.com. Again, Manscaped.com. Enter the promo code FAN. 20% off, free shipping, and a free travel bag. Trust me, fellas, it's worth the investment. There you go. Fist pumping your way into the weekend. Rebecca Black fixes everything.
Are you guys okay? Are we good?
Bummer Dirt, Bummer Swigard. What's happening to this show? Somebody texted in.
I saw one text that I haven't slept in 22 hours, and I'm agreeing with everything Sprague is saying. I don't know what's going
what
on.
What is happening? What is happening?
This is the Warriors' fault, ultimately.
This ultimately is.
Those damn Warriors.
Can you imagine how much better of a mood everybody would be in today if Portland had tied that series 1-1 and you had game 3 tomorrow night?
I actually feel bad because when you're bummed out or you're angry, you actually like show it because you don't do it often.
So I get like, angry sometimes.
I'm kind of like,
yeah.
Oh, I've really pissed him off here.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you got under my skin there. I love too how, and I guess I'm this way sometimes as well with things, when people get so offended when you say something's bad that they like the amount of people that got really offended by me saying John Wick's a bad movie.
There's a good following for the movie. That's all I was saying. Like, gotta be careful.
Calm down, everybody. If you like the movie, go for it, man. Sprague loves the Fast and Furious movies.
I do.
I think they're the dumbest movies of all time. You love Fast and Furious. Like, it's okay.
Now, I do love that. Now, what I would be willing to say is, and I don't know if the Wick boys out there with me are the same Fast and Furious guys.
Wick boys. Sorry.
That's what me and Crawford call each other.
I know.
Fast and Furious is not a good movie.
No, that's all I'm saying.
Versus like John Wick is a good movie.
Okay.
I'm just saying there's a difference.
How are they different? Please explain to me. How can a movie when the main character has less than 15 lines be a good movie? Just please explain that. Like, you like action.
How many lines does Dustin Hoffman have in Rain Man? I don't know.
More than 15. That's a false equivalency.
You can't count the repeating either. It's like the one line is the one line.
See, it's okay to say that you like that brand. Like, I like movies that are bad movies.
Sure, we all like bad, good
right?
movies.
That's
There's
all,
good, bad movies.
That's all I'm saying. Like, it's an action movie. It's probably a good action movie. You
yes.
like that genre of action because there's a lot going on.
Right.
I guess I just don't like saying necessarily that's a good
Well,
movie.
Because here's the difference. In the universe of John Wick.
He's dropping a tank out of an airplane.
No. Hold on. This is you're going to make my point. In the universe of John Wick.
We're just going to get everybody all pissed off again. I thought they'd all forgiven us.
No, they're good. In
that
the universe
quick.
Of John Wick.
All right, see you guys on Monday.
Everything is possible. Fast and Furious tries
Did
to play.
Did you just go Kevin Garnett on me? Did you just anything's possible me?
I'm done. I was trying to give you a reason why there was a difference between the two movies.
Doesn't it all start because his dog gets kidnapped?
Well, he's actually an ex-hitman. I mean, okay. He doesn't just randomly become good
it's
at murdering.
It's a dog owner that gets upset.
No, it's actually Theon Greyjoy who murders his dog.
No way, really? The actor?
Yeah.
How about that?
And gets all scared because he finds out whose dog it was because he didn't know.
Oh, no.
Hey, well, there you go.
Somebody said they want to punch you in the face.
See, I told you, people get angry. They're angry right now. I'm going to finish my cocktail and go home. Have a great weekend, everybody.
I love everybody.
I love all
of
you.
And I've actually been in a good mood this last half hour.
But I'm now the president of everybody.
Dirt and swag are just being bummers.
Hey, go Blazers tomorrow night, all right? Get a win. Let's have a show Monday talking about a 2-1 series because that would be a lot more enjoyable. I hope all of you, even the ones that go see John Wick, have a great weekend. Thank you for being a part of our Friday. We will talk to you Monday at noon. Number one is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.